Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. Sure have somebody, a guest with us today who is definitely healing the planet, many people at a time. I feel so fortunate that we have Paul Selig with us today. He has just released another one of his amazing channeled books. This one's called Alchemy. It's the book two in his Alchemy series, Beyond the Known trilogy that he's working on now. And if you don't know the work of Paul, I really recommend that you tune into his work. It's really amazing. And he's an incredible, extraordinary channel. And he works with some spirit guides that he calls the guides. And in this book, they're offering us a way to engage in the transformational process of moving beyond a limited interpretation of the self and sort of the attachment to our personality and moving on in this alchemical process that he's talking about into a place of like almost instant manifestation and really operating at the level of our higher self. So important as we're standing at this crossroads in humanity that we are right now today. And his work is so fascinating. And, you know, Paul has an incredible background as an educator and working at the university level. And his guides offer this, like the work is so beautifully written. And their energy is so high vibration, so poignant, so full of wisdom and insight for those of us that are feeling drawn to working with this energy. So thanks so much for being with us today, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about how this process works for you. I mean, I've read a bunch of your books and have had you on my show before, so it's always such a huge pleasure to have you here. But how does this this process of bringing this material onto the planet happen for you?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a conscious channel. I sit in a chair, I close my eyes, I do a little prayer protection, and then I will hear one phrase repeated incessantly again and again and again. It could be as simple as, you know, at this time you need to know. And until I say it, I'll just keep hearing it. And then, you know, they'll deliver the whole lecture. As soon as I begin to speak the words, everything else just pours out right on top of it. So that's the process. I'm aware of what's happening, but it's if I'm in the back seat of the car and I've turned the wheel over and, you know how I hear it's clear audience, but it really is as if you're hearing a thought that's unplanned, unfamiliar, that blots out all other thoughts. You know, and that's what I honor and what I speak. So I'm a spoken channel. I actually don't write the books. The books are all spoken and then transcribed by a transcriptionist. And that, you know, unedited becomes, you know, the text that people know.
Wow, that's so amazing. And now, did something happen? Did you have like a shift or awakening that took you out of your career, your university career, and move you into this?
No, I mean, I had an opening when I was 25, which predates my academic career. I was a year out of graduate school. The channeling began, or my clairaudience really started to kick in my early 30s, unexpectedly. I was, you know, I was teaching college by then, but I'd studied a form of energy healing. And I found that if I had my hands on people, I could hear things for them that they would then verify. And then that evolved into the channeling and the dictation that I do. So I worked as an academic until about 5 years ago. I had that life and was doing this work somewhat quietly, you know, for the beginning. And then once the book started coming out, there was no way to pretend that I wasn't doing this work. And I just finally said, okay, I'll just do this full time. So that's only been 5 years. But the process of opening to channel, it was a process. It didn't just show up fully formed and suddenly I was speaking books into being. I had to learn to work with it and to get comfortable with it and to begin to learn to trust it. And, you know, I've been given a lot of information that at this point feels trustworthy, so I just continue to do it.
You know, I work as a psychic Well, I work as a psychic, and I have done since my whole, I think I started when I was 19. It's been my whole life. And I'm so interested in like the distinctions between psychic and channel. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, I work psychically too. The difference with psychic for me is that I'm able to interpret. So psychic, I'm accessing information, you know, physically or visually, or I'm hearing information, but I have to interpret. So if I tune into somebody by name, let's say she's usually work with a name. If I step into, say, your brother-in-law, and he starts making fists and pounding the table, I know that there's something on the table that he's angry about. So that's interpretation. When I'm channeling, I'm literally taking dictation.
Right.
That's it. It's not nearly as creative. It really is, you know, being a radio for something. And my job is to try to keep up with the information as it comes, because I hear phrase, 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 and that's what I'm speaking without knowing where the whole sentence, paragraph, or book is going to go. I just have to trust that there's some kind of plan, and that if I start to veer off, the guides are going to bring me back, which they've gotten pretty good at, you know, keeping me on track for this. I've heard other people tell me, you know, that channeling is more of a spiritual act as opposed to psychic. And I seem to work between the two. There's things I don't do a lot of. I don't do a lot of spiritual mediumship, which is, you know, talking to those on the other side. But I have a really easy time talking to people who still have bodies, even if they're not present. So a lot of my practice as a psychic is working with people on relationships. So people say, you know, call me, say, you know, I'm having problems with my boyfriend, and I can step into the boyfriend and go back and forth and sort of be like the party line or the switchboard, you know, for a conversation that's brokered in a higher way.
That's so fascinating. And it must be so helpful to the people. One of my friends had a session with you, and he said it was hysterical. He said, you're very funny and dead accurate. And I think that
nice.
The relationship was a bit doomed, but which he already knew, but that but he really talked so fondly about the connection that it brought such clarity to help him go through a really difficult time. So it's beautiful.
Well,
work.
It's nice to hear. Thanks for telling me. I often don't know, you know. I forget it at the end of it, because that's how I can go on with my day.
Right.
But I hope people are helped by this. I don't know that I could do it if I thought that they weren't. But the two skill sets, they're different skill sets, but they're complementary. I just think of myself as a radio. You know, and when I'm channeling, I'm playing the guides I work with. And when I'm reading for people, I'm tuning into their station and their relationships. Just different broadcasts.
Right. And do you know you must know who the guides are? You just talked to them about sort of the guides in capital letters. Do you know who they are?
Well, I mean, they've given a name, and the name they've given is Melchizedek. And I've had heard that name for a long time. And that's a collective. I don't spend a lot of time on that. That's not where I hang out. And I almost wish I didn't have a name, only because, you know, then it's harder to attach narrative and ego to it. You know, anybody can say they're channeling, I don't know, or hearing, you know, Saint Germain, or, you know, it's just, and the names become almost, how can I say this, sort of iconic, you know, for the representation of an energy, and also a title. And the only reason they're called the guides is when my ex, many years ago, found out I could do this, used to say, ask the guides this, ask the guides that, because there was a captive psychic in the house. But Melchizedek is the name that I've been given, and that's the name occasionally in the books they will come out with. And they'll say, well, if you want to call us something, you may call us, you know, this. And that's mostly, up till now, where the conversation has gone. And it may just be my resistance. They're teachers, so they're coming through to teach. They're not coming through so much, at least so far, you know, to talk about themselves. They do when asked, and have, you know, publicly, but that's not been the focus of their work with me.
Well, that makes sense to me, that, you know, that explanation, because it seems to me in the books that I've read that they're really a lot about, and especially this most recent book, sort of helping us transcend our human ego and our attachment to kind of the egoic state, and a name would be a part of that, like ego state, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So So tell us a little bit about this second alchemy book and the message that's coming through this time.
You know, I just finished channeling the next book, the ninth book, since I've been here on Maui for the last several months. So I'm trying to remember what's in the last one. Well, alchemy, in a lot of ways, I think it's the hardest book that's come through me. I think it's a beautiful book. I think it's my favorite, probably, at this point, if such a thing is possible. But they're really talking about the process of releasing what they call the attachment to the small self or the personality structure, which they say in some ways precludes our ability to fully realize ourselves in a higher way. And it's not that we don't have personality or shouldn't. They certainly don't knock it. They just say, you know, the problem is that we misidentify with that in the place of our innate divinity, the truth of who and what we are. So they're teaching the process of lifting to what they call the upper realm, which is a higher level of awareness. They call it Christ mind sometimes. And the process of sort of releasing what stands in the way. They also talk in this book a lot about, you know, the idea of alchemy being the realization of spirit in matter, and that how things can be transformed once they return to their original state. So they say the only problem humanity has is what they call the denial of the divine. And they say God is all things and everything and must be seen as such. And that re-knowing of substance and matter as source, you know, from a higher perspective, from what they call the upper room, allows us the ability to really transpose our reality into what they say is a higher octave or a higher vibrational state.
When I was reading it, it made me feel like or wonder whether this is just part of the evolution of human history that we're in, part of this, you know, shift of human consciousness that we're in, as we're sort of beginning to drop our identity, our identification with that small self, with the personality, and taking on like more of a knowing of our higher self, of our soul self, or original self. It has all these, you know, different names. And that it seemed to me like they're offering a pathway. It's almost to help people do that. Is that fair to say?
I think that's very fair to say. I mean, you know, they say that we're in a process now of evolution, and this is part of, these are tools to support us through that process. I mean, God forbid that only the people that should read their books, you know, get to have a shift in consciousness. I mean, the guides say we're all going through it. I think this makes it a bit easier because they're supporting us and aligning in a higher way so we don't get sort of knocked over by the waves of change that we're facing. And they've been talking about this for some time. It's funny, but much of what they're talking about and have been talking about for the last few years is making great, great sense right now. And on one level, that's challenging because these aren't easy times. But on another level, it's deeply comforting because they're saying, you know, there's a way through this. It's all opportunity, finally, for humanity to know itself in a higher way. And how we attend to the changes that we're facing will sort of support us in a higher outcome if we choose that.
So I know that a lot of people experience pretty intense shifts in their states of consciousness just by attending your events where you channel these books or by reading the books. What do you think that part of what they're doing is channeling energy that helps people on this ascension path?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the books are energetic transmissions, the guides say, that work directly on the reader. So they're not self-help books.
Right.
I mean, there really is, if I'm to understand what they're saying, a higher conversation that's happening. And in the very first book, which was called I Am the Word, which was dictated over about 10, 11 years ago now, it was 2009 was when that was happening. They said, you know, this is a book that needs to be experienced more so than read. And they said the books operate on two levels, the words and the page, which provide an intellectual context for what's happening, but the real book is the energy that informs it. And so when the first book came out and there was nobody knew who I was at all, I wasn't even doing, you know, public events at that point. I was still doing a group in my living room, which had been going on for maybe 18 years by then or something. When the reviews started coming out, people were saying things like, I'm reading this book and my body's vibrating. I'm reading this book and I'm seeing auras. And those reports have continued. So what happens in a live group is the guides are coming through and working with the group and the collective and teaching them how to work with the energy. And the same thing is true when I do, you know, online events. People are feeling it, having these experiences, and when people are reading the books. So the books, in some ways, I mean, the guides say they're working with the students of the books to support them in their learning and their growth. And I, at this point, I trust that.
Yeah, so I certainly had that experience. So I've read a few. This one I listened to on Audible, and I it was hard. Like I was like, I can't listen to this book when I'm driving, because I was like going into these altered states, and you know, and I found that I had some really cool experiences, like listening to it before bed, and then sort of having it play while I was sleeping. And really had these super tripped out dreams and felt like I was, you know, people were working on me while I was sleeping. It was really intense and quite amazing, honestly.
It can get intense. I agree. I tell people to take it slow with these things. You know, there are people that, you know, once they discover this work, want to read all, you know, whatever there are, 8 in print now books over the course of a week. And I don't recommend it. Mm-hmm. A lot of energy to try to integrate at one time.
Right.
But yeah, the books seem to do this. And, you know, it's been my experience with this work from the beginning, is that the energy is very palpable. And that's been very important. That's why I did this work for many years, was because I could feel it. And that made it very real to me. And it's always been important for me to do the work with others, because then we're in a collective experience of feeling the vibration.
Paul, do you feel like it's had an impact on you personally? It must do. Like, if you're channeling all that energy through your being, how has it evolved or changed you over the time you've been doing it?
I mean, I don't know that I can even speak to this. My friends talk about how much I've changed. My life has completely changed. I'm not living a life I expected to live at all. None of this was planned and, you know, on purpose, at least as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, I don't operate in fear in the ways that I used to. I'm not offended. I don't claim to be special. I'm not a guru. I'm not even a spiritual teacher. You know, I'm really not interested in that. I'm happy to show up for this work as I am and be in the process of it. But it is life-altering. I think I'm not always the best student of the guide's work, you know, and partially it's because I'm channeling so much that I just don't want to hear it on my off time. You know, it's like, okay, I channel for 2 hours today. I just want to watch a stupid movie on TV.
Yeah.
But that's just who I am, you know?
That's funny. I get that. Yeah. I probably need a little bit of balance to, you know, bring in all that high-level energy. You probably need quite a lot of just human moments to balance it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they have to say about this time, this sort of extraordinary time that we're living in right now?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to channel now because I'm on my second cup of coffee, and I usually try to wait till 3, but I'll tell you what they've said in the past.
Yeah.
They said in the very first book that humanity was at a time of reckoning, and a reckoning is a facing of oneself and all of one's creations, and that everything that's been created in fear or has its... it's been so informed by fear that it's operating at that level of vibration is going to need to be altered and changed, which actually implies a level of deconstruction of the reality that we've known. And they've said this in books for the last 10 years, where this includes economic structures, political structures, you know, religious structures, all of these things that have become so heavily laden need to be renown in a higher way. And that it's a process and a positive one. It's just not necessarily going to be comfortable for us. And I do get that we all have free will and we get to choose, you know, individually and collectively. What I've heard from the guides is that collectively humanity has decided to move forward. And, you know, even though the individual will can say, not now, I don't want this, the collective is still going to move it forward. And I think that that's hopeful. It just doesn't mean it's going to be comfortable, you know, and we're used to our comfort. And that's not necessarily how change happens.
Right. I don't think the deconstruction phase is very comfortable for us humans, you know, even though
No,
it's a super
not at all.
necessary. Yeah, it's horrible for us. Our especially that egoic self, you know, the guides were talking about. It really, we really like our comfort zone. We really like the known, you know. And if we're going to al be aligning with our higher self, it's sort of like a fast track out of the comfort zone and into a growth.
Yeah, I agree. And that's very much what alchemy is about. It's about moving us through that. It's the most, when I was dictating that book, I was watching my life sort of fall apart every other week. It was pretty
Wow.
amazing to go through and shocking and ultimately, I think, very useful for me. Much has changed since that book came through. And I had to face a lot of stuff, or I was faced with a lot of stuff I've been really not wanting to look at. And,
Yep.
you know, it was greatly valuable. Do I ever want to live through that again? Thank you. No, I don't. You know, if
Right.
that can be helped, it was not fun. And when this book, when the book was being channeled, I thought, my God, this one might need a warning label on it because, you know, the changes are so direct. And that was my experience. I don't necessarily think it's the experience of the reader. I was just surprised that the book coheres as well as it does. And it coheres really well, but, you know, I don't, you know, I don't write the thing. So I'm sitting there, you know, I'm sitting there and hearing this stuff. And that's the best that I can do.
Wow, well, I think all of 2020 should have come with a warning label on it, but I don't
I
know if
agree. Yeah.
we wouldn't have believed it. If somebody had told us what was going to happen, we wouldn't have, I don't think any of us would have believed anything that
Yes.
possible. But I do think that, you know, there's some, like in hindsight, I think channeled information and psychic stuff is always so interesting in hindsight because we can, you know, read the stuff that you've been channeling for all these many years and see how they're, you know, maybe their guides were prepping us for this time that we're in right now,
Yeah.
preparing us for that. Yeah.
That's what I hear, you know, and I've heard that from other psychics as well. The books were all written for this time, you
Yeah.
know, and the people are really finding the work in large numbers now, which is, you know, encouraging.
It is encouraging, and I know your events have moved from in-person events to more virtual events, which I think is really interesting in that it maybe offers an opportunity for even more people to get, you know, to get a seat at one of your events if you're doing it virtually.
Yeah, no, we've had thousands come to some of the events online now.
That's great.
And yeah, I mean, it's exciting, you know, and we try to make some of them available for free so people can attend these uneasy times for people. And you know, I'm happy that the work is doing its, you know, my job doesn't change. I just and I, you know, I would show up with there were 8 people coming or 200. It doesn't really make a difference to me. I did it in my living room for free for 18 years, you know. So, you know, this is just what I do. And the fact that people are attracted or being helped by the work is beneficial because it makes me want to continue to show up.
And I know that you have a really rich library of recordings and, you know, on the membership
Yeah.
site and your website. How can
Yeah.
people find your work?
Well, my website is just my name. It's Paul Selig, SELIG.com. And there's information on the subscription site there. But yeah, we do have a library of past teachings that are available. There's free stuff. And then there's, you know, something called a lab, which also allows people to enroll automatically in my weekly sessions. I channel every week. And almost every week, and take questions, you know, and we provide, you know, recordings and transcripts of those sessions as well. And I do a lot of intensives now, 5 day things. There's one actually starting tomorrow, or whenever tomorrow is, whenever this airs, it will have aired beginning November 12th. But we do these things, you know, regularly now.
That's awesome. Well, I really recommend that people, you know, tap into your work as a way to help steer us and guide us through these challenging times. And I thank you so much for being on the show with me today, all the way from Maui. Thank you so much, Paul.
Oh my pleasure. Thank you for having me and take good care.
You too. And thank all of you guys for being with us today here on Empower Radio. If you want to find out more about me, you can come to my website, lisacampion.com, and come and visit. I'd love to see you. But thank you for tuning in to the show today on the Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time right here on Empower Radio.